Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today once again by Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Hello.
How are you, JGL?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm tired. And I know you are too.
Yeah, a little bit.
We've had a big Monday.
Yeah.
We're recording this on a Monday. Mm-hmm. And I've been wishy-washy all day about whether I wanted to record it only because I'm tired. But I figure let's just do it now.
Yeah.
Because it's fresh in our minds.
It is super fresh.
We went to an exhibit today.
Banksy,
genius or vandal? What do you think, Jen? Genius or vandal?
Genius or vandal? Does it have to be one or the other?
It could be both.
I mean,
it could be neither. It might be neither.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a genius, but okay, here's the thing. I don't know what I was expecting from this show, but I don't know. I was slightly underwhelmed by what we got.
Yeah.
It's a small little exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I was expecting because he's a street artist.
Right.
But somehow in my stupid brain, when I got there and I saw that, 85 to 90% of the work are prints.
Right.
Hung up.
Right.
Traditional style, like a
like a gallery.
Like a gallery. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting. People to, I don't know, pieces of wall. I don't know. I know who he is.
Right. There were a few, maybe.
I don't know. See, I really don't know. Like, I know they say he does a lot of different stuff.
Right.
But there was like, what? There was maybe one sculpture of his? Two?
Yeah.
No, three. There was the chair.
Right.
That has the weird old lounge chair that has the old reading chair that has two pillows. One embroidered says enjoy life and the other says don't listen to a pillow. There is that. It's supposed to look like a kid's like wooden doll toys, like those old block toys.
Right.
But it's like people lining up behind a truck to, I guess, like get food or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Because refugees is a big theme in his work. And the other is a grappling hook that is made out of a crucifix.
Right.
Other than that, we're looking at reproductions, which is fine and makes sense because he's a street artist.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, there were a couple of like stuff behind plexiglass. Those weren't taken from buildings.
Oh, you mean like the stuff? Like there was a couple things that said the material said on drywall.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's really from a building. I feel like it was all reproductions. There was.
Why did it need to be behind anything then?
Because I guess it still works.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean they're good reproductions. It's not like they just printed it out on a normal printer.
Right.
But it's still, you don't get the feeling like this is Banksy.
Right.
Which I guess, again, I'm dumb. I should have expected that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there were some interesting ideas
in
this exhibit. And this exhibit is going all over the world. We saw it in New York City, and it's called Banksy Genius or Vandal, or Vandal Genius. I forget which way
it
goes.
Genius is first.
It's one of the. It's an exhibit on Banksy's work, or a sort of. It's sort of an overview of everything he's done so far.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of stuff that feels underrepresented, like some of his bigger projects that I really like, which I'll get to that, and. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of interesting ideas that didn't go anywhere. Like when you first walk in, there is a super, super old statue that's like way, way, way ancient.
Right.
And so you're like, okay, this isn't a Banksy. But then there's a whole thing on the wall that reads like basically the beginnings or the history of graffiti is on these statues. People would like write dialogue as if the statues were speaking. So it was all this satirical dialogue. So I thought, okay, this is cool. this is a cool way to start, because that means this thing is like the narrative bringing us through is going to be like the history of graffiti, but it but it doesn't do that really.
Right.
Like it starts with that cool idea and then nothing else reflects that concept.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Then we see a recreation of his workshop from the documentary Exit to the Gift Shop.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool and eerie because you've got, like, I guess a wax figure there.
Right.
He's got a hoodie on but no face, which is cool. Like, you see, like, a blank area where his face should be.
Right.
And, you know, the little informational thing on the wall is, like, typically in a retrospective show like this, we would talk about the artist's biography, but we don't know anything about Banksy. Right. Some people think they know who he is, but still he's eludes the public.
Mm-hmm.
What's your overall feeling about the show?
Well, I mean, I feel like you know a lot more about Banksy than I do.
But I don't. But I still don't know a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we also, not that we're fresh off the Van Gogh exhibit, but this is a lot smaller.
And it's similar in a way. Both are like kind of unsanctioned.
Right.
Both are kind of touristy more than actual art experience.
Right.
Both end in a VR experience that are very, very similar.
Right. The Van Gogh one, though, has the big room where you're kind of just in it, where this is like you're walking through things. And yeah, you're right. I know they can't like pull his stuff because he is a street artist, but like to walk through a gallery, it was cool.
Right.
I don't know. I felt like there could have been a little bit more, especially for him, because you can't bring his art into something like that. Like Van Gogh, I guess if you could gather up all his artwork and make it into a gallery, and that would be impressive. But his, I feel like they should have been reversed. I feel like the Van Gogh thing could have been a gallery, whereas this should have been like a room where you're completely in it.
Well, note it is, they make very clear in the material, the literature for this exhibit, that Banksy is not involved.
Right.
And I think when you look at the things Banksy has been involved in, he usually will create interactive pieces.
Right.
Like the things that he's done have been incredible, like Dismaland, which is, I think, maybe the coolest thing he did, which was like he did a pop-up theme park, which was a collaboration with him and a bunch of other artists. And it was Disneyland, but it was a sad fuck capitalism version of Disneyland. So like when he does get involved, it's super. This was like, this felt so much like on the outside looking in of him.
Yeah.
Which is weird because he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's been long dead and we're trying to like remember Banksy.
Right.
Also, when you first go in, After the beginning of like graffiti in that statue, there's a little like, you know, informational panel that's about reproduction and the reproducibility of images and stuff, which is important, especially because he's like such a culture jammer and he uses images like Charlie Brown or Mickey Mouse and stuff like that.
Right.
But at the same time, it also felt to me like here's a setup for why what you're about to see is not really Banksy works.
Right.
And the thing that I maybe didn't realize is that unlike a lot of other artists, you've probably seen all his work. If you've Googled him at all or seen Exit to the Gift Shop, which is a documentary he produced, or if you've seen you and me the other day in preparation for this, we watched Banksy in New York, which was about his New York residency, which he wasn't involved in, but it showed a lot of his stuff. If you've looked into Banksy at all, you've seen it all. There was nothing I saw today that was a new image to me.
Right.
I don't know about you. I know I'm into it more than you, but it felt like I've seen this on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I haven't seen all of it, but I've definitely seen a lot of it.
Right. Especially because there's repetition in his work.
Right.
Like he has a ton of work that he did with rats. Like he did the rat thing a lot. Right. He did the monkeys a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like there's you know, the probably the most famous and maybe the most sincere and pretty, for lack of a better word, of his work is the girl with the balloon.
Right.
Because that's not ironic. It seems to have something genuinely. It's ironic where he first put it, which I'm forgetting now. Again, like always, PCMC is not where you come to for information. It's where you come to hear like half smart people say half smart things. But it's a genuinely hopeful thing.
Right.
But I've seen that before.
Right.
And some of these things, by the way, exist on t-shirts.
Right.
You know,
they had a t-shirt.
Yes.
And it's part of the exhibit.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right. And the balloon, which is
a necklace.
Right. Yeah. Was a necklace. Yeah. As I was there, I was enjoying it, but I also was sort of going like, maybe this, you know, I'm not the first person to have said this. Many people have said this before, but maybe he doesn't belong in this setting. I mean, maybe.
Right.
And he says it himself. Like, right. He started as a street artist, mm-hmm. and street art is very different from fine art.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like, you know, in a world of images.
Right.
You know, I've seen these images.
Right, right.
It also wasn't very long. It wasn't...
Oh, yeah, it was short.
It wasn't super big. And, you know, it kind of... Like, every room seemed to be, like, one phase of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And some, you know, really felt like... You know, if you've ever been to a museum or an art gallery or anything like that, you know that there are these informational panels on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right next to a work, it'll say the name of it, the artist, the year that it was produced, mm-hmm. if it was... from a collection, it'll say who lent it, and it'll give a little bit of like what it is, you know, what's the actual material, like acrylic paint on canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And for context, you'll see bigger panels that'll say like what you're going to see in that room.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of those, and they were you had to sit down and read them because they were like novel length.
Yeah, they were long.
And that to me felt like, we're missing stuff.
Right.
There's holes in this.
Right.
And we're trying to hold it together.
Right, right, right.
To string a narrative together.
I stopped reading them.
Me too, because it was so freaking long.
I know. I just wanted to, that's why at one point I was like, just take pictures of it, we can read it later.
Right.
I just want to look.
And we took pictures of everything.
Yeah.
Which is not something I would normally do. But one, it was such a small show, I felt like we can literally take a picture of everything. And spoil everything on the podcast.
Right.
And two, it's Banksy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've so like you there's no respect in a way. Right. Like he, you know what I mean? Like he's not about respect. Like in a, you know, I didn't at all feel bare taking out my phone and taking a picture of a bank. Everyone was doing it.
Right. It's also street art. It's meant to be seen by everyone.
Right, exactly.
It's really not meant to be, well, like we said.
Right.
It's not meant to be in this setting.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You're not meant to pay for it. You're meant to just see it.
Right, right. So, let's see. I took a cool picture next to a wall where somebody wrote Exit to the Gift Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And has one of his famous rats.
Yeah.
With the star eyes. You know, the documentary we watched the other day, which you could find on HBO Max, it was produced by HBO. Banksy was not part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes through when Banksy came to New York and he did 30 in October. So he did 31 unique pieces.
Yeah.
That was like a mystery. Like he'd put on his website an image of it and people would like go on a hunt to find it.
And he'd just like tell you like Midtown or whatever.
Right,
and
you had
to find it.
In that documentary, they have an interview with, they have an interview with a fine art critic, and he's kind of like, and he's a nerd, but he's kind of like, you know, I find Banksy to be really, really obvious, and I find his insights to be really, really shallow, and it's like, yeah, consumerism. Okay, look, you made an acrylic statue of Ronald McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
We get it. And I understand, but I feel like what's unfair about that is those... that reading is only appropriate for a fine art setting.
Right.
In the world, in the actual world, his work perfectly works.
Right.
Because you think, what is graffiti for the most part? For the most part, right, 80% of it is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
80% of it is just names
mm-hmm.
of people saying, this is my territory.
Mm-hmm.
Or like it's something stupid, right?
Right. It's a tag of some sort.
Right, exactly. And then there's really good stuff. There is some good stuff, especially like in the 80s and stuff. There was some great stuff in the 90s.
Yeah.
But his stuff, yes, it's shallow, but I think it's shallow on purpose because you think you're walking by it or you're driving by it, right? To look and immediately have it strike you with a meaning.
Right.
I think it has to work that way.
Right.
Because think, when you go into a museum, right? you have already this belief that what you're going to see is meaningful, right? Every painting in there or sculpture in there, you go, okay, this is going to be meaningful, and I'm going to, part of what I'm going to do here is meditate on the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
With Banksy, you, if you do that, you go, well, the meaning's all pretty there on the surface.
Right.
Right. But if I'm walking by a street, if I'm walking on a street and I walk by a bodega and just on the corner on the wall is a picture, you know, Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz having her basket looked through by a cop, that will immediately punch me in the face with a message.
Right.
Right. So it's yes, this shit is obvious, but obvious is what you need when you're out in the world. Right. Because all you have around you is, you know, advertisements and shit like that. And and the aesthetics of architecture. You know, we live in a world of images, but it's not, it's usually not images like his.
Right.
So it breaks through when it's something like that.
Right. It's also out for people. Like if you go to a gallery, you probably...
Galleries are bougie.
Right.
It's not for the every person.
Right.
Let's be honest. Right? I don't remember. We had to get these tickets really long ago because it really went out fast.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. So I don't remember exactly what we paid, but we paid for it.
Right.
Right? Which is probably in the, not what Banksy ever meant. He didn't mean for people to pay for some of it. At least his early shit, you know?
Right.
I'm not going to say that he did or didn't sell out, but, you know, the later shit that he did more fit those kind of, like when he would do shows that more fit,
right,
he knew the context he was doing. But when I'm going through a gallery looking at images that were on walls,
right,
it's kind of like this, I was not meant to pay for this,
right?
But it is fun. I mean, if you don't know Banksy, there is a sort of playfulness which I like. He's got a, there's a seriousness there. Like there are themes that you see, poverty,
right,
you see authoritarianism, capitalism as a bad thing, refugees,
consumerism.
Like, yeah, consumerism. So like, but it's heavy-handed, yet it's not serious. Or it's serious but not dramatic. I'm not sure exactly the right way to put it. It's got a serious point, but it's all kind of fun.
Right.
It's silly.
It's eye-catching.
Right, exactly. Which is what it, what it's graffiti what, right. it would be, right?
Right.
And it's interesting because so much of fine art is about authorship. And his whole thing was not having authorship.
Right.
Right. I mean, originally because he didn't want to be caught and arrested.
Right.
But then something crazy happened, which is he became famous.
Right.
And it, he lives this sort of contradictory thing now where it's like he's a respected artist.
Right.
I mean, the name of the show is Genius or Vandal.
Yeah.
I mean, technically speaking, he was a vandal. By the way, I always think of Banksy as super, super recent. Maybe just because as I age, I have less of a grip on time. But a lot of the like really important work is like 2001, 2002, 2003. I was like, shit, Banksy's kind of old. Not him himself or her herself.
Right.
I mean, I say him because Banksy is typical. Whenever you hear an approximation of Banksy's voice, it's always a male voice. So I don't know how old Banksy themselves is, but the work is not necessarily the freshest.
Right.
You know, I don't know. In my head, I was surprised to see the dates on this stuff being so early.
Right.
So like a lot of retrospectives like this, there were a lot of quotes on the wall. So some of the quotes I think are fun and funny. Let's see. We can't do anything to change the world until capitalism crumbles. In the meantime, we should all go shopping to console ourselves. Banksy. So again, that's a perfect encapsulation of Banksy, right? Some serious political message, but then a joke.
Right.
This is an interesting piece. When Brexit happened, he, on the side of like, I don't know what kind of a building this was, but I should say, if you don't know anything about Banksy, he mostly works in the UK and he started in the UK. When Brexit happened, he did a painting of, I guess that's a European Union flag.
I think so.
And somebody like scratching out one of the stars.
Right.
You know, Queen Elizabeth as a monkey. Monkeys also appear a lot in his stuff.
Yeah.
Monkeys, rats. Monkey Parliament. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know, and then like I'm looking at an image now of Winston Churchill, but he's got a punk like mohawk.
I guess. It's like the close.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is this like revolutionary? No, but it's fun.
Right.
But that's the weird thing about like any kind of setting like this. Like it was more, it was actually more formal like museum than I thought it was going to be.
Right.
I thought there'd be more interactive shit.
Yeah. Nothing was interactive. Really? I mean,
you have the virtual reality thing.
Oh, right.
And then in one room, just one room, there was a light, a spotlight on the ceiling that was going around in circles. Like and you heard coming from it, like sound effects of like a helicopter is chasing you. And it's like, why not do this in every room?
Right.
Like, why this one little room do you make this one little effort? Like, this is a cool idea. Do more of this.
Yeah.
It just felt like there could have been more of a lot of the instincts that you saw there.
And that was the room with all the photos of his work, right?
That was the room that was dedicated to the Waldorf hotel.
Oh, right, right.
I'm just looking through some of the images of Queen Elizabeth sitting on somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun for everybody. Here's another Banksy quote. There is nothing more dangerous than someone who wants to make the world a better place.
Yep.
One thing that was really cool was, like always, me and Jen are old people that need to go to the bathroom. So when we got in, we were like, we have to go to the bathroom. And they were like, okay, you have to like walk through the exhibit to do it. So we kind of like walked through really fast and we went and peed.
Mm-hmm.
But then what we walked by was a little section that's about like Big Brother watching you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place where you could stand where on the left of your, of what you see screens. And then on the right of it, you see a gallery, but you see the people in the gallery on the screens.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Like I saw a guy taking a picture and then I saw me watching him take a picture.
Right.
So I was like, this is really clever. This is like the fold in on itself.
Right.
Banksy shit that I want. I even took a picture. I said, like, I know where the cameras are. I asked you to go and take a picture of me on the monitor.
Right.
Here's the chair. Life's too short to take advice from a cushion. Oh, that's what it says. Like, what does that really mean? It's just stupid, right? It's just, he's a lot like Warhol in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a real like wink, 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 wink about everything.
Right.
This was cool. The welcome mat.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and this is the information with it. On the doorstep of almost every house where a decent citizen of a prosperous country lives, you can find a simple shoe mat with the inscription welcome. Of course, the store opened by Banksy. I don't know what the store they're talking about. Okay. So the remnants of life jackets found on the Mediterranean coast. Once upon a time, these vests belonged to people who no one intended to greet with a friendly smile on the doorstep. So like they take these life jackets and he used that material to make the welcome mat.
Right.
So like the welcome is orange and it's made from life vests.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Some people become cops because they want to make the world a better place. Some people become vandals because they want to make the world a better looking place. Banksy. My main problem with cops is they do what they're told and say, sorry, mate, I'm just doing my job all the fucking time. Banksy. Police and authoritarian is a big thing that repeats in his work. Here's a cop or like a riot gear cop with a smiley face, like emoji face and wings.
Mm-hmm.
Two little kids with police vests on. This is a famous image of Dorothy from Wizard of Oz having her shit looked through by a cop. This is a fun one. It's a pink background with two images of old ladies in black and white. It's called Grannies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both knitting things. And one is knitting something that says Punk's Not Dead.
Right.
And the other one's knitting something that says Thugs for Life.
Yep.
Grannies.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh now, but one day we'll be in charge. These are the Laugh Now monkeys.
Right.
Which he put all over the place.
Yeah. It said it was inspired by Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the sort of informational thing said, like, people tried, ever since the publication of Darwin's On the Origin of Species, people try to distance themselves from our animal nature.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to remind us that we're all just primates.
Right.
See, this is a fun one. It's Mickey Mouse and Ronald McDonald holding hands with the famous image of the nude girl who is napalmed and screaming. You know, simple juxtapositions.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing, though, is we're almost spoiled now because with Instagram and Tumblr and all sorts of things like that, we live in currently this sort of like amazing illustrative age.
Right.
Like, have I ever showed you any work from Beeble?
I don't think so.
Beeble is a digital artist, a digital illustrator. His Instagram is Beeble Crap. And he does shit like this every day. Now, mm-hmm. It doesn't appear on walls. It appears just on Instagram. But it's a lot of...
Right.
It's basically this stuff. Like, you take images that exist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you... especially ones that have, like, so-called goodwill, like Mickey Mouse or whatever.
Right.
Or Charlie Brown. And then you invert it. This is what is at the core of, like, what we used to call, like, culture jamming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, famous culture jammers were, there was a group of artists called Art Mark, mm-hmm. who in the 80s, they stole a Mattel truck of talking G.I. Joes and talking Barbies and switched their voices and then put them back out into the stores. So kids would get like a G.I. Joe and the G.I. Joe would be like, I don't want to study. Math is hard. You know, all sorts of weird gender and shit. And the Barbies would be like, dead men tell no tales and shit.
That's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of other culture jammers. There was that one dude who, he was wearing a Max Headroom mask and he actually like hijacked TV signals. This was like in the 80s or 90s. There was the Air Pirates who were they were these underground comic book makers that made like these Mickey Mouse comics where Mickey Mouse like sold drugs and was violent and stuff.
Yeah, those I've seen.
That's culture jamming, you know. So then there's one room devoted to the walled off hotel.
Uh-huh.
Banksy opened the walled off hotel, and this is a play on the walled off, walled off hotel, the walled off hotel in Bethlehem in March 2017. The hotel features 10 rooms with what Banksy calls the worst view in the world, facing the controversial barrier wall which separates Israel from the Palestinian territories. Some say it's a business project aimed at bringing jobs and tourists to the territory. Others say it's an art project with the main goal of supporting local artists and providing them with a place to exhibit their works. Or it's an immersive experience for the Israeli citizens to experience how life behind the wall looks. But there is no doubt that the hotel itself is a piece of political art in every aspect. And in that room, there's images of stuff like outside the door. There's like a statue of like a monkey bellhop. Inside, there's cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like this. Like, I actually want to stay in this room. Like, here's one of the bedrooms. It actually looks cool. It looks like something you'd see at Disney, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it's just all this cool looking blue.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the wall is a mural of two people on different sides of the conflict having a pillow fight.
Right.
And like the feathers of the pillows going everywhere. And that's on the head of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's actually cool looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's Dismal Land, which is something I was super obsessed with for a while. And that was it was 2015. He called it a bemusement park. This is probably my favorite thing in Dismal Land. It's,
Cinderella.
Yeah, her pumpkin carriage turned over and her like dead slumped out of it, and a bunch of paparazzi taking images of her.
Right.
It's clearly evocative of Princess Diana.
Right.
Death. But again, like, this exhibit could have done so much more. Like, the little Dismal Land section had a little thing that explained Dismal Land.
Right.
It had a few pictures of Dismal Land.
Uh-huh.
Like, so, like, you know, there's a weird, like, Little Mermaid statue that, like, she looks like she's, like, a, like,
It's, like, distorted.
Like, distorted, like, in a VHS image, kind of. And then there was a little screen showing a Dismal Land, like, promo that he had made. But other than that, like, there that was so it. Much more in Dismal Land you could have done.
Right.
Like, when you went into Dismal Land, the actual Dismal Land, like, it started off with you being patted down and them looking through all your shit and asking you crazy questions. Like, have you done this? Have you done that? Has anyone been with your luggage? Right. Have you seen any unicorns today? Like, crazy shit like that.
Right.
Like, the whole thing, there were, like, little booths around where little kids could, like, get loans.
Yeah.
Like, it was full of... I feel like Banksy himself is full of ideas.
Yeah.
And this show felt like not.
Right, right.
Then we got to your favorite section. What Jen's obsessed with rats.
I'm not obsessed with
rats. Let's talk about your rat obsession.
I'm not obsessed with rats.
I don't think it's a bad thing, babe. You should be proud of it.
I just think that they're cute, and I just want to get a rat at home.
I know. And we want to do this, but... But what happened? There's been a hiccup in our plan.
Rats only live, like, 3 years.
We didn't know this.
And I have a dog named Penny.
Yep.
And like the second I got her, I fell in love with her. And then the next second, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to outlive her.
So you think.
So, yeah. So yeah. I think. So
you feel like emotionally you can't handle rats.
I couldn't emotionally handle the promise of maybe 10 years with my dog.
Right.
You think I can handle three?
Right. Three if you're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. In the wild. In the wild of New York City, some of them don't even make it to a year. Baby rats die all the time.
So sorry, babe.
I know. Isn't that so upsetting?
It is. But rats they're better with other rats, right? They'll live longer with other rats.
Yeah.
So what we should do is like, we should just keep buying them. So they like, so we always have one and we're never without one. And they're kind of constantly like overflowing, like one in, one out. That's how we should do it.
And that way we never have visitors.
Right. Oh, no, we never have visitors because we have rats.
Yeah.
So Beggy did a lot of work with rats and a lot of cute work. Like here's a rat who's spying on people using some sort of audio device.
I like the little rat with the heart.
The little rat with the heart is cute. I like this little rat that looks like he's a DJ.
Yeah, he's a little. Well, no. Yeah, yeah.
He's got a boombox.
Yeah, and like a little chain and a hat.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Welcome to hell. A rat that has a sign that says welcome to hell. A rat in front of a thing that says, if graffiti changed anything, it would be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the little information plaque said about rats. He has a cool quote about rats. Rats exist without permission. They are hated, hunted, and persecuted. They live in quiet desperation amongst the filth, and yet they are capable of bringing entire civilizations to their knees. If you are dirty, insignificant, and unloved, then rats are the ultimate role model. Babe.
They're my role model.
They are. I love the idea of... no one wants them to live, but they do.
Right.
Yeah. Then there was a cool section that was about just like how he's inspired by other people.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that.
There was a Warhol there.
Uh-huh.
A screen print of Marilyn, yeah.
Yeah.
And then basically the same idea, but it was Banksy did it of Kate Moss.
Uh-huh.
Which was cool. What else? Oh, he also did, he recreated Warhol's paint cans.
Mm-hmm.
But it's instead of Campbell's, it's value. So it's like cheap, yeah. Like poor people would buy it cans. A cool image of him. I guess this was something he put on a wall somewhere. Him walking a dog, and a dog is a Keith Haring dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget what he called this one, but then he did another thing where it was like a
Ferris wheel,
but all of the cars were the Basquiat crowns that he was known for doing.
Mm-hmm.
So like here's Warhol, here's Basquiat, here's Heath Kither, which is I think interesting people because you can clearly see those three people in his influences.
Right.
Like Haring and Basquiat actually did graffiti.
Right.
And Warhol is the sort of father of like playing with images that already exist and stuff. Yeah, and then it ends with the girl with balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there was a little video showing that famous thing that happened a couple years ago where a girl with balloon image was being auctioned off and...
like shredded.
Right, it shredded.
Once the buyer purchased it.
Yeah, it was like a gavel and then the frame that it was in was a shredder and the image sort of comes through and it's cool to see all the people freak out.
Yeah. It didn't work though. It didn't go
all the way through. Right.
Which sucks because then
it's worth more now.
I know, but I mean for him, it sucks because the idea was that it would just go away, but now that person was able to probably salvage it.
Right.
And just
right. If
frame
it's just
it,
hanging out, it's just like, look how cool this is.
Right. Or even just like put it back, like get a new frame because you could take it, and just the frayed pieces are on the bottom. That's easy to frame.
Yeah. What I always think about with that is, though, if it starts shredding itself exactly when it's old, that means Banksy's in that room.
Right, right, yeah.
Right? Because he's got some remote control thing.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Also, if you look on your Instagram story, if you type in Banksy, that
comes up as a GIF.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was posting on my story and I was just looking for Banksy and it's like one of the few things that are there.
Yeah.
So that's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. And then it ends with a virtual reality experience. This is, If you listen to the Van Gogh episode, now we come to our favorite segment, Jen Fails at Virtual Reality Experiences.
These are not meant for people with glasses.
What happened? What happened this time, Jennifer?
She even said it, that it's not... She was like, it's impossible to put this on someone with glasses.
I think she's Banksy. A nice young woman helped us.
Yeah, she was super sweet.
She was very nice. Because she's Banksy.
Right, because she's Banksy.
Well, just like last time, if you heard the Van Gogh episode, it was the same setup.
Yeah, you get your little raccoon eye patch.
Right.
Or not eye patch.
Yeah, the mask.
Mask.
To put on your face. It's like a maxi pad on your face.
You look like a little raccoon.
Right. And I really thought you were going to do it this time.
I did. I tried to do it. I didn't get scared.
What went wrong?
Okay, so let me tell you.
What went wrong this time?
The last time, I put the eye thing over my glasses.
Yes, my love.
And that, whatever.
Well, she had a tip this time, right?
Yeah,
Banksy told you. She was like, Banksy herself was like.
She said put it on under your glasses.
Yeah, she was like, pro tip.
And I did. I put it on under my glasses. We tried at least 3 times to get this thing on my head.
See, I didn't hear that because I was already in there.
Yeah, you were already in it. There was a struggle before it even started. And then we finally get this thing on my head, and it's, like, tight. So I was like, oh, can you loosen it just a little bit? And then it starts playing, and then I, like, went to just hold it up because it's heavy on my neck.
Yeah, yeah.
You said you didn't feel that, but whatever. I got a weak neck, I guess.
Yeah.
And I went to hold it up a little, and then the raccoon mask turned into an eye patch. So I could only see out of the bottom.
Wait, how did
and
that happen?
And then the other one fell down. It like...
Oh, because it went in front of you.
Yeah, because it
went
in front of my
eye. So why didn't you take it off and then redo your...
I tried and then I gave up. And then she was like, wow, you're done already? And I got quiet. I didn't want to ask her to help me again.
Yeah.
So I just waited it out.
You just waited. Just like last time, I did it, enjoyed it, took my helmet off to see Jen just sitting there waiting patiently.
It's not meant for people with glasses. She said it's hard for people with glasses.
Banksy said that.
Yeah, Banksy said that.
Well, let me tell you, it was not as thrilling as the Van Gogh one was.
I saw when you were walking, you started to walk down the street.
That's all it is.
Oh,
you
okay.
Just go around streets and through tunnels. It's just you're in a small, like... urban area, and as you're going by, you see stuff on the wall. Sometimes it appears on the wall, sometimes it's already on the wall and it's moving a little bit.
Oh wait, yeah. So I mean, last time maybe I was a little bit scared, who could know.
Yeah,
but this time,
yeah,
I was ready to do it, but as I was like, as I gave up, I was listening to other people, and she had to tell at least 2 people that it's not scary. So it's not just me.
Well, Banksy is a trickster.
I know. So it's not just me. I'm just saying
she had to
calmly and kindly tell these people, no, it's not scary at all.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Can we talk about how your feelings leading up to this?
I'm just saying that you like to paint me as a forever scaredy cat. And I'm not alone in the world.
No, you're not alone in the world. It crossed my mind that something could happen. Nothing scary did happen.
Yeah.
But when I first got tickets for this, you were like, "Is it going to be scary?"
Yeah.
And then I was
"That's
like,
a real question to ask."
Because when it was first, before they had the when they were selling tickets before they had the venue, it was like secret venue. So you were like, "Where is it?" And I was like, "I don't know. It's secret."
Yeah.
And then I was telling you that. In the morning, Banksy comes and puts a burlap sack over your head and then brings you there.
Yeah.
You know, there are these things that you can do that are like, I guess they're a little bit inspired by Friday the 13th, where like you'll go camping and you'll sign a waiver ahead of time. Like,
you can
do whatever you want. And like, you'll go camping, but in the middle of the night, Jason will come or somebody in a mask will come and like terrorize you.
There's like way more intense ones.
Yeah.
I just watched a thing on TikTok and she like showed the waiver and I forget who this guy is, but like you sign it.
Yeah.
And you do get kidnapped.
Yeah.
They don't tell you where it is. You do get kidnapped and people have left with broken bones.
Yeah.
Like you get punched in the face. You get like whatever, like bugs. And like, if you want to quit, you have to like get the, like this guy, whoever he is that does it,
yeah,
has to like decide if he wants you to quit, but like no one's ever made it all the way through.
You
set up a safe word, but even then he decides. You have to like email him a safe word.
Is it Jason Voorhees?
I don't know. But is it fun though? That sounds like an experience I'd never want.
You and I are super into spooky season, but you and I are like, let's drive up to Connecticut and see foliage.
Right.
Let's go to Sleepy Hollow and look at the bridge. some people like, let's go to this haunted house that I hear someone had a heart attack at. Like, some people live for that.
Yeah.
You couldn't even watch Rambo.
That was... I don't like to watch people getting hurt.
Same thing with Suicide Squad.
In, like, kindergarten...
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I went to Catholic school. So, I mean, that part I know why. But they, like, had us watch a thing... I guess it was around Easter or Lent, about Jesus being crucified. Oof. And I had nightmares for weeks.
Was it the Passion of Christ?
No,
it wasn't out yet. Because that shit's real intense.
It wasn't out yet. But I had nightmares. And then I guess I didn't tell my grandma, because I remember her being like, just tell me what happens. And I told her.
They crucified him.
And she was like, well, one, that can't happen to you. And two, I'll talk to your teacher. And then my teacher had to talk to me. Yeah. I just can't handle...
Can't handle the violence.
Just can't handle watching people get hurt.
Right. So it's not even scary movies at all that scare you. It's just violence.
It's also Jesus.
You can't watch heads being shot off. Even video games, you can't do.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's got to be... I've tried looking it up. Looking up, why am I like this?
Oh, I looked it up. I think I'm pretty sure the condition is called being a big fat wimp.
Right.
I think it's called being a big baby.
Maybe I'm an empath. Big, I'm not baby. Really sure what that is, but maybe that's me.
It's somebody who can like feel what other people are feeling.
Yeah, maybe that's why I can't see violence on
TV. You can feel like what fake characters are feeling?
Yeah. Maybe. Okay. You don't know.
Fair enough. I think it's a big scaredy baby is the... All right. And I'm not scared, but I could like watch a scary movie. Anyway. All right, last question for real. Are you Banksy?
I can't tell you that.
No, you can't be Banksy.
How do you know?
Because he goes up high sometimes to like put stuff and you don't
I said
you
I wanted to go to trapeze school.
That's this is such a bluff. You don't want to go, because if I said let's go, you wouldn't want to go.
The only...
You don't want to go to trapeze school.
You don't know. You don't
Ridiculousness.
Know.
Ridiculousness. Yeah.
Never mind.
All right. You saw that one episode of Sex and the City, and you're like, that seems like fun.
Is that on an episode of Sex and the
City?
Yeah,
when she goes to Chelsea Piers and does it.
Oh.
Carrie Bradshaw. Are you familiar with this program?
I just started rewatching it.
You getting excited for the new one?
Yeah. I don't remember a lot of it.
It's good that it's not. This is my hot take.
I also, we didn't have HBO, so the Sex and the City I watched was on at like midnight on whatever channel, VH1, I don't know, something.
So you didn't watch the real one?
Right, yeah, I didn't watch the real one.
Right. Oh, speaking of horror movies, last year, all right, so we've got this thing, this contract, where...
It's not a contract. Only one person said it.
It's binding. Once a spooky season, Jen has to watch a scary movie. Just one. And I try not to pick one. We negotiate what it'll be. We try to pick one that's not too... Like, last year was Blair Witch Project. Mm-hmm. Because nothing really happened to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to find more important ones so you can have a little bit of literacy in that area.
So you guys should leave in the comments something that's...
Well, you want
to... Not too scary.
This year we were talking about Scream.
I just want to be up...
But they're showing it on Freeform.
Yeah, I want to watch the Freeform one.
The Freeform version. The not scary version.
I just...
Cut all the unpleasantness.
I tried to watch it on Freeform last year, but it was on at like midnight. I can't watch it in the dark.
Yeah,
that's when things get you.
That's when things get you.
That's when the monsters are out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be horror movie literate. I want to be able to talk to people.
We'll get there, babe. So anyway, this was a fun Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We won at noon on a Monday. That's the only tickets we could get.
And then we got chocolate.
And then we went to Max Brenner's and got chocolate because I've got a problem.
And we got these really good potatoes that have like chocolate in them.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I did not find them.
They were sweet and savory and spicy because they also had peppers on them. And then they served you a little cup of chocolate in case that wasn't enough.
Sure.
These potatoes...
On a scale of 1 to 10
potatoes,
queen monkeys, how many queen monkeys would you give the Banksy exhibit?
Like a 5.5.
Okay.
I feel like that feels mean, but also it didn't move me.
If it were like free or like part of some other kind of like bigger festival, like it would be totally awesome. But the fact that like it is a place that you have to go to and pay for.
It would have been cool if like, I mean, he wasn't a part of it, but it would have been cool if like a building, like an old warehouse or something.
Yeah.
Just like let him go nuts.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been, even if it was just.
Or get like young artists to replicate his work, yeah, or something like that.
Seeing framed pictures of art, of street art.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It doesn't do it for me. But yeah. I mean, it was cool.
I would give it maybe 6.
I wish you remembered how much we paid for it, because I feel like that makes a difference too.
It probably wasn't cheap.
It was like a cool $20.
It was definitely more than 20. Oh, by the way, because we did VIP because I wanted to do the virtual reality. So when we get in there, like, oh, when you leave, there's a gift. Tell the people about the gift, Jen.
It's a tiny little postcard of not even the like famous ones that people know.
Right.
You got the Statue of Liberty one.
Yeah.
And I got some guy throwing a football because they only had 2 options.
I was like, oh, it's going to be a poster. It's going to be something.
Yeah, like at the Van Gogh, we got a free poster.
We got an awesome poster. The gentleman at the thing shows us 2 postcards. And I was like, where's the other thing?
Do we hand this to the person that gives us a real gift?
Yeah, yeah. But I get it. I asked you why no gift shop, and you were like, because capitalism.
Right.
Which I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm this bougie guy that when I go see a show, I kind of want to get the book.
Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been cool to walk away with like a nice little book?
Yeah. No, for sure.
I mean, you would have paid for that, but there literally was nothing. There was no shirts or anything. It was literally like you go in, you leave.
I would have really liked that shirt with the girl with the balloon.
But I bet
that.
Uniqlo makes it or something.
Oh, probably.
Uniqlo.
Yeah, 100%. Or like on Etsy.
Yeah.
Shop small.
If you're going
for Banksy, shop small.
That's what he would want.
Yeah, support your local t-shirt artists.
We were saying the other day, how does Banksy make money? Because he doesn't sell his own big pieces.
Right.
I guess he must have a company where he sells his own prints and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be a lot of money changing hands that he has nothing to do with.
Right. I don't know.
And he, by the way, can't be a singular person.
Right.
Like, after watching that documentary about him in New York.
Yeah.
And all the work that went into it. Like, this is a huge team. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless he comes from just, like, old money and he just, like.
That's crazy. What if we find out, like, it's like Prince Harry? Wouldn't that be the best Banksy?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, this has been PCMC. Jen, thank you so much for being here once again.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for going on another fun art adventure.
I loved it.
Jennifer Grace Luttrell, we end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.